Well, Merry Christmas, everybody, and welcome to BTV. We're coming to you live from the Odyssey Mall, where I...
excuse me, Mr. Walton.
Eugene, I'm trying to introduce the show.
Oh, precisely. And I am here to perform the opening number. Or did you forget?
I guess I did. At least I was trying to. Well, go on, then.
Thank you. Oh, the holly and the ivy.
Hey, just a leaf picking, then it's not the music.
Excuse me?
What are you trying to push here?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was attempting to sing a traditional English carol.
Well, don't. That Christmas stuff is just a lot of pagan superstition and commercial hype.
What?
You got no right to force it down our throats in public.
Sir, I deeply resent the insinuation that I, of all the people...
Oh, boy. I knew we couldn't just have a simple Christmas show. BTV will be back in just a moment if we can get things sorted out here. Welcome back to BTV. It's Christmas, the time of peace on earth and goodwill to all. And our theme today is redeeming the season.
See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16.
And now, here with a few words about the Christmas season is our old friend and BTV semi-regular. You know him, we all love him, William Shakespeare!
Gramercy, fair Connie. Some say that ever gainst that season comes, wherein our Savior's birth is celebrated, the bird of dawning singeth all night long. No fairy takes, no witch hath power to charm. So hallowed and so gracious is the time. Hamlet, Act 1, Scene 1.
Translation, Christmas is a very special and holy time of the year.
Brief but fair spoke. Where wert thou when I needed you?
Now that the gentleman who so rudely interrupted me earlier has departed, I shall continue my musical number. Oh, the holly and the ivy.
Eugene?
Nathaniel, I was right in the midst of a song.
I know, but I heard what that other guy said about pagan superstition and commercial hype, and it got me to thinking.
A condition of which I normally approve, just not during my song.
I understand about the commercial hype part, but what about the pagan superstition stuff? Take Santa Claus.
Ah, yes, Santa Claus, the jolly old elf, Father Christmas, Saint Nick, ambassador of generosity, embodiment of the spirit of giving.
Right, but what does that have to do with the real story of Christmas?
An excellent question, and one that is best answered by...
A story from Bernard.
Around the year 270 AD, in Patras, a small town in Asia Minor, a boy named Nicholas was born. His father was a bishop.
Checkmate!
Bishop of the church. He was very influential and quite wealthy.
Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
And his mother was a very pious and holy woman. She dedicated Nicholas to God.
He's all yours, Lord. Do as you please with him and just let him call home on Sundays, huh?
It wasn't long before Nicholas's parents began to notice that he was, well, a little unusual. He displayed remarkable devotion to God for one so young.
Oh, doesn't he look cute when he's sleeping?
Actually, I'm praying.
He refused to drink his bottle.
Oh, right. I'm fasting, too.
As the boy grew older, he began to question whether his father's version of Christianity was really what Christ taught.
After the gold-plated organ pipes are installed, we can start collecting money for the sauna and the weight room and the bell tower. Then there's my raise to be considered, and... do you think this robe makes me look fat?
Oh, there's got to be more to following Jesus than this.
Nicholas was also itching to see the outside world, but his father had other plans.
Someday, my boy, you're going to be bishop, just like me. Nicholas?
So after Nicholas came back and stopped screaming, he went down to the harbor and caught the first ship headed for Palestine, where he hoped to learn how to live the simple, humble life of a true disciple of Jesus.
Bye, Mom. Bye, Dad.
Have fun storming the Holy Land.
Goodbye, son. And remember, long-distance raids go down on the weekends.
He didn't know it then, but his life would never be the same.
Redeem, verb, transitive, to buy back, recover, set free by paying a ransom.
In the year 1659, the Puritan government of Massachusetts passed a law regarding Christmas.
Members of the assembly, be it hereby known that whosoever shall be found observing any such day as Christmas shall be liable to penalties hereafter to be determined by the state.
I'm in for murder, arson, and murder. What'd they get you for, kid?
Celebrating Christmas.
Whoa! You just stay over there. I don't mess with the big C.
And now, a Yuletide fact.
Fact. The modern Christmas season, with its customs of feasting and gift-giving, has roots in several early pagan and pre-Christian winter celebrations. For example, the Roman Saturnalia.
I just love the little round things with the pink stuff inside. Et tu, Brute?
As a matter of fact, Julius, I think I ate three.
And the Scandinavian Yule, or Winter Solstice Festival.
Sven, Luke, the sunlight is returning.
Yeah, sure, Oli. It's quite a deal. Care for another helping of hot dish?
Yeah, I think I'll eat three.
Naturally, traditions like these take on an entirely new significance when considered in light of the greatest gift of all, God's gift of life in Jesus Christ.
Sven, the Savior of the world has been born. Let's give out presents and have more hot dish.
Yeah, sure. And I think I'll eat four.
By now, you've probably figured out that we're talking about the symbols and customs of Christmas.
Mr. Walton.
Where they came from, how we got them.
Mr. Walton.
And why they're part of the celebration of the birth of Jesus.
Mr. Walton!
What is it now, Eugene?
The unfinished business of a hopeful singing career tragically cut short by constant interruptions.
Uh-huh. In your case, singing and tragedy go well together.
Huh?
Go ahead, get it over with.
Oh, much thanks.
Time, from the Greek kairos, of time, in the sense of a fixed and definite period. Time, season, an opportune or seasonable time, an opportunity.
And now, back to Bernard's story.
After a long, eventful journey by sea, complete with storms.
We're all gonna die!
In the name of Jesus, be still!
And other mishaps.
One of me men has fallen from the yardarm.
Fear not, Captain. God can restore him. In the name of Jesus Christ, arise!
I'm alive! Yippee! Wow!
Nicholas's ship finally arrived in the Holy Land.
All ashore! What's going ashore?
Nicholas visited all the usual sites, Nazareth, Jerusalem, the Wailing Wall, the gift shop outside the Garden Tomb, and little Hezekiah's pizza place.
Get your pizza pie!
But when he got to the church and monastery of Golgotha, the place where Jesus died on the cross, he felt he'd reached his journey's end.
At last, a place where I can seek the Lord in peace. I think I'll stay.
But one day while he was meditating, he got a big shock.
Nicholas.
Lord?
Go home.
Home? You're kidding.
I have special work for you.
Yes, Lord.
Rats.
I heard that.
Sorry.
So back he went through the stormy seas.
We're all gonna die again!
And other mishaps.
Whoa!
Until the ship reached his home port.
All ashore! What's going ashore?
He walked through the town and up to the door of his father's church. That's when he got his next big shock.
Nicholas, thank the Lord. You're just in time.
What do you mean?
I have good news and bad news. The bad news is both of your parents died while you were gone.
Oh, no.
But it means you're rich.
Rich?
And we've chosen you to be our new bishop.
So what's the good news?
Well, that's it.
Great. What do I do now?
What will Nicholas do? Find out when BTV returns in just a moment.
Welcome back to BTV. Today, we're redeeming the season, looking at the ways some of our Christmas traditions can help us remember the true meaning of Christmas.
Traditions such as singing, for instance?
Yes, Eugene.
Singing traditional carols?
Yes, Eugene.
Such as this one, perhaps? Me, the holly and the ivy.
Excuse me.
This can't be happening.
Who are you?
Origen.
Origen? Not the original Origen.
Yes, Origen of Alexandria. Oh. One of the fathers of the early Egyptian church. And I've come all the way from the 2nd century to bring you a very important Christmas message.
And not a moment too soon.
Christ's birthday should not be put on a par with pagan carnivals. It would be sinful to celebrate it as though he were King Pharaoh.
Is that all?
Don't let him sing anymore.
But right. Well, thanks, Origen.
No, don't mention it.
And now it's time for Did You Know?
Did you know that according to legend, Christmas was first observed in England in 521 when King Arthur celebrated his victory in retaking the city of York?
No, but did you know that in 742, Pope Zacharias sent out an edict prohibiting Christians from participating in the, quote, heathenish customs of the Christmas season, unquote?
Well, you know it now, and don't you forget it!
We now rejoin Bernard's story in progress.
Nicholas, now in a position of great wealth and influence, something he'd been trying to escape, left the church and wandered down the street feeling very depressed.
Now I'll never know what it's like to give up everything for Jesus' sake.
But as he came up to the window of a certain house, he heard...
Oh, Daddy, I can't marry Anthony because you're too poor to afford the dowry.
Dowry, Dow Jones, it's all the same to me.
A dowry was a gift of money every groom expected to receive from the father of his bride. Most young couples needed it to set up a household.
This gave Nicholas an idea.
I've got lots of money.
So that night, while the poor man's family slept, Nicholas crept to the window of the house and threw a bag of gold inside.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
And in the morning...
Oh, Daddy, now I can get married.
Of course, my dear. How?
Well, because of this big bag of gold. Thank you, thank you.
Anything for my daughter. The big bag of gold.
Nicholas was very happy. But the following day, as he passed the same house, he heard the poor man's second daughter say...
Hey, how come Maria gets a bag of gold and I don't? You know, Thomas and I want to get married, too.
Hey, I don't know where the first one came from.
This gave Nicholas another idea. So that night... and in the morning...
Oh, Daddy, you've done it again. Now Thomas and I are going to be so happy.
Another bag of gold? I wish I could at least touch them before I give them away.
Well, that might have been the end of it, but the next day Nicholas walked by the same house again.
What's the matter, daughter number three? You've been crying so much, you got your socks all wet.
Maria and Joanna got to marry their sweethearts, and I can't.
Well, cut the ball and hang those wet socks by the fire and get to bed. Let's see if the guy with the gold comes back.
Redeem. To restore to usefulness. To exchange. To make amends. To deliver from sin and its consequences.
Go figure!
In 575 A.D., a certain Bishop Martin forbade the use of Christmas greenery in his church.
Get that stuff out of here!
But nearly 1,000 years later, Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, brought greenery back inside.
Ach du lieber, eine kleine fir tree, just right for the Kinder Christmas.
Go figure!
Symbols and traditions can mean just about anything we want them to mean. Well, take Christmas trees.
Ooh, yes, the tree. Oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum.
Okay, you, agent up against the wall and spread them.
Wait a minute.
And drop that thing. Now!
Officer, what's this all about? I mean, his voice isn't that bad.
Yeah.
I heard him say something about a bomb.
No, not bomb. Baum, Tannenbaum, it's a German word for Christmas tree.
A likely story. You're coming with me.
Wait a minute. No, Mr. Walton, help!
Excuse me while I go take care of Eugene.
Nathaniel Graham here with a BTV Missionary History News Flash. I'm in the middle of a German forest in the year 724. It's Christmas Eve, and there's trouble brewing in front of a big oak tree.
This night I challenge the false god Thor. The thunder oak will fall, and you will know that Thor is dead and Christ is king of all.
That's the voice of Winfried, an English missionary who's trying to win the Germans to Christianity. Wait, I don't believe this. He's pulling out an axe. He's chopping down the tree.
Halten, English, Schweinhund. The tree is sacred to Thor.
There is no Thor, my friends. Give your lives to Jesus Christ.
Der Wind, it's a sign in the...
You see, the Lord has felled the Thunder Oak.
Yeah, he's right. The Englander's God is Lord.
And look, do you see what grows from the shards of the fallen oak? A young tree points to heaven. Take it and set it up in your hall. Deck it with candles. Let it stand for the birth of the Christ child and the new life he has brought you.
Yeah, we'll do it. And we'll use the wood from the oak to build a chapel to the Lord.
Yeah, right after schnitzel and strudel, of course.
There you have it, the very first Christmas tree ever. For BTV Missionary History News, this is Nathaniel Graham.
And now another... Did you know?
Did you know the red stripes on the Christmas candy cane stand for the blood of Jesus? By his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:5.
Well, you know it now, and don't you forget it.
And now for the conclusion of Bernard's story.
So that night, Christmas Eve, after everyone had gone to bed, the poor man crept outside and hid himself in the bushes under the window.
Oh, sticker bushes, sticker bushes!
He made such a racket that Nicholas, approaching with another bag of gold, couldn't help but notice him.
Whoa, looks like I'll have to sneak around to the other side of the house.
But there weren't any windows on the other side, so Nicholas had another idea.
The roof? Why not?
He climbed up. And dropped the bag of gold down the chimney, where it fell right into one of the stockings the maiden had hung up by the hearth. Then Nicholas climbed down and tried to slip away. He might have made it, too, if it hadn't been for his red bishop's cloak.
Hey, you in the red! Ooh, sticker! Stop right there!
You rang?
Yeah, what are you doing on my roof?
Well, I heard your daughter weeping this morning because she had no dowry, and I wanted to help.
Then you're the guy with the bags of gold. But wait a minute, ain't you, a bishop?
Checkmate!
No, the one from the church.
Yes.
And you're giving money away?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never wanted to be bishop. I wanted to be poor.
Are you crazy?
Poor for Jesus' sake. But God has shown me a way to redeem my situation by using what he's given me to help others in his name. God loves a cheerful giver, you know.
Sure. Say, you wouldn't want to throw a little more cheer my way, would you?
And the next morning...
Oh, Daddy, look. Now Barnaby and I won't have to elope and live in student housing. What a wonderful gift on Christmas Day.
Yeah. Guess we'll have to hang a stocking by the fireplace every Christmas Eve. Hey, Bishop.
Oh, boy. What have I started?
And that's what Santa Claus has to do with a real story of Christmas. And that's also our show.
Whoa, but Mr. Walton, what about my song?
I was hoping you'd forgotten. But in the spirit of Christmas charity, Eugene, here's your chance. Go ahead and sing.
Thank you, Mr. Walton.
Silent night.
Anyway, many thanks to our sponsors and producers, the management of the Odyssey Mall, Origin, Shakespeare, Winfred, St. Nicholas, Martin Luther, and all of you at home. That's all for now. We'll see you next time on BTV. Merry Christmas to all.
And to all a good night.
Eugene said that the word redeem means to buy back, recover, set free by paying a ransom. We've talked a lot today about redeeming the season. Jesus is the reason why Christians took pagan festivals and rites and turned them into a wonderful reminder of God's grace, salvation, and redemption of mankind. In fact, you could say that redemption is what Christmas and Christianity are all about. Well, that's it for now. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. BTV Redeeming the Season was written by Jim Ware and directed and produced by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Todd Bastide, and our executive producer was Al Jansen. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.